Too bad they didn't have skipped the dishes during the desert wanderings of the people of God. 40 years is a long time to eat the same meal of manna and quail every day. I think we can probably understand their complaining. Some of us have been doing a lot of complaining about limitations on going to restaurants and having to eat home-cooked meals. We didn't call it manna when I was growing up, but we did have potatoes every single night. And I seem to recall doing some complaining about it, although I doubt very much if I would have gotten away with saying, like the Israelites in the desert, "We detest this miserable food." I don't think my mother would have resorted to poisonous snakes to let us know we had gone too far, but like Moses, she did not accept any lack of appreciation for her efforts to provide us nourishing meals. Both of today's readings may seem quite harsh in response to complaining, but the message is absolutely critical for us. Sin is the lack of appreciation for what God has done for us. Sin is the lack of response to what God is doing right in front of us this day. These readings today, as many are in Lent, are a wake-up call for us. It's true that the desert experience was not easy. It was a time of testing. It was a time of having to learn to trust in God. And they kept forgetting how bad it was to be a slave. They kept losing sight of the fact that the God who had brought them out of slavery was providing them with all of their needs. But this is always the way with us, is it not? As it was with them. When we don't have what we think we should have, we complain bitterly. And yet, when we have all of the riches the world has to offer, we forget about God completely because we no longer need him. The result of their complaining was that the people got one of those things that they worshipped as gods in Egypt. They got snakes. This is a reminder of their slavery, and it has the right effect. Their response is profound. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord." We should also see an echo of how the first sin came through a serpent, the devil. This will be important because that serpent is still prowling the earth, seeking the ruin of souls, of our souls, and the end of our worship of God, who has provided the means to save us from sin. We did not have this means before. For the Israelites, the remedy was the bronze image of a snake lifted up on a pole. And when they had been bitten, they only had to look up at the image to be healed so that they would not die. Now, we are not to think for a moment that an inanimate object formed in the image of a snake had been given magical power to heal. We are to see that God healed those who looked up and repented of their rejection of the one who had saved them. The psalmist today, just picking one line from the psalm, I think has this absolutely correct. "The Lord looked down from his holy height to set free those who were doomed to die." So in each of these cases, it is the underlying spiritual life and death that is the problem, and a looking up in repentance that is the solution. With this in mind, we are ready to consider just how important it is that Jesus uses this image of being lifted up. When Jesus repeats himself, we are always to take special note. But how about this in John's gospel? Jesus to Nicodemus in chapter 3. "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And Jesus to his disciples in chapter 14, the gospel passage from this past Sunday. "Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." A third time, Jesus to the people in chapter 8, today's passage. "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he." Clearly, this is important for us. Today, it is still a matter of life and death. It is so obvious to see that the world has focused entirely on physical health and the fear of physical death. but appears to have stopped believing in spiritual health and has stopped fearing the much more important spiritual death. We might hear the echo of God's words to the rich fool in Jesus' parable in Luke. What does it profit someone to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? Bible scholar Tim Gray puts it like this. We have all been bitten by the serpent devil. We have all taken the poison of sin into our souls, which makes those souls mortal. We will all die because we are mortal. But by looking at Jesus lifted up on the cross, we can be healed of the ancient serpent's bite, which is so toxic and deadly. Jesus says to those in front of him who refuse to believe, you will search, but you will die in your sins. But John also tells us that many believed in him because of what he said. If we acknowledge that we have been bitten by the serpent, if we confess that we have sinned, if we look upon Jesus lifted up on the cross and ask for forgiveness, we will be healed and saved. Will he kill himself, they asked? No. The answer is that he will voluntarily lay down his life for us. Lent is about sin and penance. You know that. It is so that we can look at Jesus during Holy Week and be forgiven and return to him. So we are invited to look up at the crucifix, to find a crucifix in our home, and spend some time in this next week looking at him on the cross, lifted up, so that we might be healed. This is our hope, brothers and sisters. This is the good news.